Word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Gary Burton was 13 when he heard his first jazz record. By then, he'd been playing the marimba for 7 years and had toured around his home state of Indiana and as far as Miami with his siblings. The Burton family band came apart shortly after Gary heard this, Benny Goodman's band doing After You've Gone. That song helped launch a career that has spanned the globe, the decades, collaborations with musicians from Chick Corea to Stan Getz to Astor Piazzolla, and originated what's called the Burton Grip, playing the vibraphone holding two mallets in each hand. Today, Gary is a 7-time Grammy Award winner. He's 70, the former executive vice president at Berklee College of Music, and he spent the majority of his life playing and teaching jazz. He's now out with a new album called Guided Tour, a new autobiography called Learning to Listen, The Jazz Journey of Gary Burton. And he joins us now from his home in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Gary, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Happy to talk to you.
Do you remember what you thought when you first heard that record, that Benny Goodman track?
Yeah, and just hearing a little of it now really took me back. What I always remembered was just the kind of excitement that it offered. I'd never heard anything like that before. And I thought, wow, this is such a great beat, and it's got a great feeling. I want to find out what this music is all about. And from then on, I was hooked.
Now, before hearing that record, you were growing up in a small town, Indiana, not a place I imagine a lot of marimba or vibraphone players. How did you pick up the instrument?
The truth is, I didn't pick it. My parents did. They wanted all three of the kids in the family to have music lessons, and my older sister had already started on piano. And when I was about 6, they decided it was time for me to have an instrument. And they looked around, and there happened to be a lady in the area who played marimba and vibraphone and gave lessons. So that's how I came to get started. They took me over to meet her, and she became my teacher for the first for a couple of years, more or less. And then we moved to the other end of the state of Indiana, and that was the end of the lessons. And I discovered then that instead of my instrument being, you know, universally recognized and available, that in fact it was a very rare instrument, and you know, most people didn't even know what it meant when you say, I play the vibraphone.
Well, let's listen to Where You've Gotten To Since. This is a track called Jane Fonda Called Again. It's off of the Gary Burton Quartet's new album, Guided Tour. Jane Fonda Called Again off the new Gary Burton Quartet's new album, Guided Tour. Does Jane Fonda often call?
No. And I, of course, don't know her at all. It just seemed like a funny phrase. I saw it in a magazine, and I often get ideas for song titles from ad copy and, you know, lines that you'll see in magazine stories and so on. And somewhere in some magazine, I was reading like a People magazine that's full of great title possibilities. And there was Jane Fonda Called Again. And I said, that's a great song title. I've got to find the right song for it. And that was the one.
Gary, you're known for what is called the Burton Grip. In fact, it's playing with two mallets at the same time on the vibraphone. How did you develop the technique?
I grew up in a small farm town and I played alone most of the time. And it sounded very incomplete. I wanted some harmony and more chords and sounds to fill out the music somewhat. So I started, you know, playing with four and gradually got more dexterity with it. And at a certain point, decided that the more traditional way of holding the mallets was kind of awkward. And I experimented and found what for me and for many other players nowadays, it's turned out, is a more comfortable and convenient way of holding them. And even though I didn't name it the Burton Grip, it became eventually known as my grip. And it's the most widely used technique for manipulating four mallets these days. And I'm sure the thing I'll be most remembered for in over the passage of many years will not be that great solo I played on that record or whatever. It will be, oh yeah, that's the guy that played with four sticks. So that's my fate, I think.
I want to hear a little bit more about your incubation from this Indiana farm boy to moving very young to Nashville and working with A-list session and lead players like Boots Randolph and Chet Atkins and this guy, Hank Garland. Let's hear a little bit from his record, Jazz Winds from a New Direction. This is the song called Move. Gary Burton playing there on the track called Move from Hank Garland's record Jazz Winds from a New Direction. Gary, how old were you when you played that song?
I was 17.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm just wondering how, you know, jazz and country is not a union we hear an awful lot about.
Very true. Well, I grew up, you know, not far from Nashville in southern Indiana. It was about a 3-hour car ride to get to Nashville. And it was actually Boots Randolph, who you mentioned, who kind of put me in touch with the guys in Nashville. He had started getting known as a session player himself in Nashville. Even though it was a country music town, they were starting to add saxophone in backgrounds on Elvis Presley records and that sort of thing. And he noticed one of the main guitar players in town was talking about wanting to make a jazz record. And that was Hank Garland, who was the number one country session player. But he had become a big fan of jazz and really had learned to be a pretty advanced soloist in the jazz field. And he convinced his record company to let him make a jazz record for a change, and was looking for vibes. And there were none in Nashville. But Boots Randolph said, well, you know, there's this kid up in Indiana you might want to hear. So he drove me down to Nashville the next time he had a session going on. And I met Hank, and we played a couple of songs together. And then Hank proposed that I come and spend the summer. I was just graduating from high school with plans to go to college in Boston in the fall. But I had the summer open. And he said, well, come down, and we'll play in a local club on weekends, and we'll make this record. And that's how it all started. We not only did all that, but at the end of the summer, I had become friends with Chet Atkins, who at the time was, of course, a major recording artist himself, but also was the head of RCA's division in Nashville. So he proposed to the company that they offer me a record contract. And by the end of the summer, and when I was on my way to Boston to school, I already had my own record contract, and which was just seemed like a fantasy.
Well, let's hear about some of those collaborations. This is one of your pioneering works of jazz rock. This is your first as a band leader, and the record is called Duster. The track is General Mojo's Well-Laid Plan. Gary, this is a few years before the album that's considered to be a landmark in jazz rock, Miles Davis's Bitches Brew. Did you know what you were embarking on at this time?
Well, I did and I didn't. I didn't know if it would necessarily become a genre in its own right. I just knew it was something that I wanted to try musically. And I was being pretty calculating about it, and I realized that most of the people I played for were twice my age. I was in my early 20s in those years, and the audiences were in their 40s and older. And just doing the math, you realize that, well, by the time I'm 40, they'll be 80, and they won't be coming to jazz clubs much to see me. So I wanted to connect with my own age group, if I could. And I also asked myself, what do I like? What do I listen to? And I was at the time really enthralled with the new rock that had arrived, the Beatles and Bob Dylan. Rock used to be pretty boring for musicians. And, you know, we make fun of all the tunes that only had three chords and to them and so on. But here came rock musicians that were playing much more sophisticated music with, you know, adding things like string quartets and Indian sitars and different things. So I was very interested in this, and it just seemed like the ideal, you know, choice for me. I wanted to do something different, something youthful, and there it was just sort of staring me in the face. By 1970, the genre had changed its name to jazz fusion and was often rolling, particularly after Miles joined. At the first, we were considered heretics because rock was the enemy, you know, stealing audience from the jazz musicians. And people would even say to me, why are you doing this? It's wrong. That's the last thing jazz people should be doing, is using rock elements. But I was drawn to it, and the audiences liked it as well, I discovered. So once that happens, you know, you're encouraged to keep on.
And now you're the 70-year-old, right?
Right.
Gary Burton, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
And we're going to leave you with Gary Burton's most recent Grammy Award-winning song. This is a collaboration with Chick Corea, and it's called Hot House. Gary's new album is called Guided Tour. His autobiography, Learning to Listen. You can find more on both and also on his upcoming date in New Hampshire. Gary's going to be playing with his band on September 15th at Plymouth State University. For details, go to wordofmouthradio.org.